I want to start sort of by throwing away this paper, but I will try and follow it a little bit just because it's not. I changed a number of sort of key elements. So the idea that I got to travel around on sabbatical for the first time last year has sort of changed a lot of my thinking, but also potentially all of those spaces allowed me. I'm going to get there in a sec. Allowed me an opportunity to travel to Jingdezhen, Limoges, in France, the south of France, Italy, and so in the course of maybe 2-3 months, I traveled to sort of large historical centers for ceramics, all in the period of, you know, a very short amount of time, and visited these sort of kilns and these sites. And so the ability to do that, I sort of calculated the number of air miles and all of that. So it's around the world twice, or 1.5 times, and all the travel that sort of went into it. So the energy that it sort of took to undertake that is sort of still weighing on my mind, me thinking about flying down here. All of these things about ceramics and energy will be part of this sort of talk as we're going through. So this paper aims to explore models of collaboration in contemporary ceramics by exploring opportunities presented by ceramic residencies and their impact on ceramic education. So I want to think especially about this sort of notion of being able to travel around and what students do after they are finished in programs. So I'm interested in how to understand collaboration as a means to provide a model for flexible ceramic studio research. So that's my own sort of thinking, and then how that impacts education now with these opportunities. Collaboration is an example that I will explore, is usually a marker for renewal as far as I'm concerned, or a means of transitioning between production methods or ideological systems. The root cause of these transitions is sometimes difficult to understand, and they're very sort of complex, but understanding the collaborative model within recent ceramic history stems in large part from the changing system of values in the use of the term itself. So the benefit of identifying a working definition for collaboration in ceramics would in some respects enable us to better understand 20th and 21st century ceramic approaches, especially to production. So as well as the motivations of contemporary makers intent on using the term as a critical approach to making and building community. So throughout the large part of my education, both undergrad and graduate, the need to position one's work within a historical lineage always seemed somewhat abstract to me. What was rarely clearly articulated was the need more so for contemporary makers to develop a context for one's work. This context may or may not include an understanding of the history of the medium. By context, I would extend this only to an analysis of objects of production, the work generated out of studios, but also the gestures of labor and the work itself. In explaining contemporary objects entirely through a sampling of history, the focus rests on the ability to sample techniques, i.e. historical glazes, surfaces, patterns. The educational environment of ceramics thus mimics this sampling by having the most number of ceramic technologies available in one studio, high fire, low fire, all of these different sort of ideas, and in some ways that's thinking about the energy that's sort of required in order to maintain a studio of that many different historical sort of frameworks and ideas. So what this approach distorts is the relationship or understanding of the environments under which the historical works are made. So that idea of me traveling to all of these historical centers was really a chance to either make clear that that it was impossible to do this, or it made no sense in terms of energy to try and mimic all of those sort of forms within a contemporary studio. And so I spent energy in order to do that. So there's lots of complications there. But throughout history, we can cite many examples where the number of people involved in the production of a single object has usually involved many individuals. So if we look back to ceramic history, those same sources that we're using within contemporary ceramics are generally made by multiple people. And that might be a division of labor literally within the process of creating the ceramic object. So it's interesting that ceramics really, you know, sort of is a, in historically, should should be considered kind of a collaborative media itself. So not until the studio movement has the transition in describing work of individuals been the focus, largely tied potentially to the teaching of art of ceramics in art schools. It always struck me as strange to compare the production of contemporary individuals to the production of a group. In many respects, this could lead us in so many directions, but the root of the term collaboration implies the product of a group over the product of the individual. The key, of course, is to establish the roles of the individual within the group, and Linda sort of hinted to that a little bit, and how the group functions as a collaborative. So my interest in the research in this topic of collaboration is in large part based on my thinking around production methods. So really it's, you know, centered in sort of ceramics and how ceramics is made. For myself as an individual maker, and more broadly needed to develop pedagogy in contemporary ceramic education. So much of my focus, came at a turning point within ceramic studios as a whole. These programs, once largely training grounds for studio ceramics, began to transition to programs as exploration of ceramics as research and even more broadly as grounds for critical thinking. This may be understood as a move from studio ceramics as a method of self-reliance, a career working in a studio, to a more self-determining program of study where the focus shifts to an ability to solve problems within a given material or as a conceptual exercise. The former, essentially, following the model of ceramic programs set up to teach and prepare students for production studios. Most of these models were based in European studio pottery movements. These models come in sort of many variations, but focused energy on the development of studio fundamentals for the individual. So glaze, clay, chemistry, production techniques were all developed in order to enable a single individual to operate a production studio with the knowledge and skill of all the areas of production. So describing descriptions of groups of makers in this system were largely based in guilds or in collective, in sort of collective models. And these collective models usually dealt with sharing studio space, potentially, or developing exhibition spaces and or sale. So collaboration in these systems was not generally considered at the level of production. The notion then of the collaborative might have described the space of production, gallery, studio, live-work buildings, but rarely of a single object or the direct relationship between makers in a process of production. And there's lots of single examples or sort of rare examples where there are collaborative individuals working on lines of work. So it's not that they don't exist entirely, but the focus it doesn't seem to be that within the sort of educational models. So how would the educational studio function given the possibilities presented by the collaborative approach is really sort of a key question. So So there are very few ceramic texts, either critical or historical, until recently, which I've encountered the term collaboration. The fact that the panel exists should be an indication that there may be a shift in place within ceramics education, but more broadly within ceramics research, both in studio and critically. The new questions are presented by the adoption of the term collaboration may be a good starting point. So thinking about these questions, so how does the term question the role of the individual maker seems pretty key. What changes to education would exist if we moved away from a focus on individuals? Does collaboration provide? Provided us with a new vantage point from which to explore the ceramic process and production. So I'm going to sort of start with two examples. The first one is going to be in Vallauris. So Vallauris is in the south of France, right by Nice. This is the Madura pottery in Vallauris. So Vallauris went through an amazing history of having a huge range of work that's made over a long period of time. But the clay itself from the region is known to have mica and to be good for what's called flameware. So technically, in sort of French cuisine, wares that could handle the direct flame. And so for a long time, the area made utilitarian work. And then essentially that the sort of market for those utilitarian works with the introduction of plastics starts to just decrease. And then all of a sudden, there's huge changes that go on within the ateliers of the potteries themselves. So Madura is sort of famous for one collaboration between Picasso and Alain Rémy, and so the sort of term collaboration is being now applied generally to the discussions of this work, but at the time it's not clear whether collaboration was necessarily the way that this was being described. So what I'm kind of interested here is just that the idea of collaboration, or the idea of bringing in artists into these studios that were really designed as production studios for this utilitarian ware, was a means to try and deal with the sort of decline in the market completely. So that sort of fundamental change all of a sudden opened up sort of opportunities potentially for artists to come into those spaces. Madura is now based entirely on this sort of collaboration. So it's dedicated to the history of this sort of brief period in ceramic, in Picasso's sort of production, and then its relationship to the actual sort of studio. So from his death in 1973, they've been selling the idea of this collaboration, essentially, for that sort of whole period. So the sort of relationships between these ateliers has recently been described as collaborations, but in many respects it's difficult to understand the actual sort of position of those individuals within the sort of making. There's a democratization that's intended in the use of the term in this context, I think, which opens up the door to evaluate the work not as the work of a single individual, the artist Picasso, but as a more complex undertaking. One of the collaborations took place How do we transition between the values of production based on the individuals in ceramics education to place value on the work of the group is a question that sort of comes up now in my own sort of teaching. So how is it possible to address new models for collaboration in ceramics? So I'm going to just sort of flip through some examples of my work. So I went to a residency there, and I was there for a month and a half. There was no kilns, and the residency wasn't sort of set up, so it was terrific. All of a sudden, you've got a ceramic artist in another country with nothing to do, seemingly. So I got to wander around, and basically that little idea that there's no natural studio to walk into, you know, basically has been my work since then. So I started to walk through everywhere and started to try and find locations to put work. So these walls are all over the place. These holes exist, and I was just making sort of covers for these locations. So the best bit about this was that all the work essentially happened outside of the studio, sort of in direct contact with these walls, measuring them, a ladder, and everyone thought I was working there by the time the sort of month went by, because I'd carry a ladder around and I'd go back and forth, and they thought I had a real job. I won't get into the aesthetics of some of those, but these were just different sort of variations. So as soon as I got back to Regina, I started to have to think about this, this idea of the unstable kind of studio. So I went into fixing these little ceramic curbs. So going in and setting up a little sort of workstation and making these ceramic inserts to complete or sort of alter these this sort of streetscape. And just an example. So I had a little set of public work signs, and most of the time the discussion was a discussion about the sort of values of labor, literally, in relationship to public space, and why was the city paying someone to fix these curbs in this way? That's just completely ridiculous. So I had a lot of not just debate, like angry conversations about, public funding and, all of these other ideas, mostly because that was what I was interested in, dealing with those sort of ideas. So we get to Jingdezhen. So I got to work at what's called the Experimental Studio Factory in Jingdezhen, but again, I was only there for two weeks, which in ceramics that makes no sense. So 6 weeks is essentially, you know, the minimum amount of time to probably make something. But Jingdezhen is quite an interesting sort of location. So how is it possible to address new models for collaboration in ceramics and production networks or research networks as research networks? In a recent trip to Jingdezhen, I had access to this ceramic studio. The residency is situated in what's called the sculpture factory. So for me, the residency, is completely tied to all the other ideas about production in Jingdezhen. So a collection of hundreds of small-scale autonomous studios producing a huge range of objects. And I'll sort of just flip through some of the... Maybe we will flip through some of the... There's the experimental studio itself, and just so you have a sense of the sort of studios. So they're just all of these intensely independent kind of studios, and yet they're completely sort of dependent on each other in another way. So while it's impossible to go into depth describing the relationship of these studios, and I don't want to oversimplify them because they are quite complex, we may visualize them as a factory system with an intensely focused division of labor and skill, but without identifiably fixed frameworks. So work moves in and out of these studios at different stages, and there's no sense that there's sort of a line of production or sense of the division that really makes any sense when you're sort of looking at it. In following the production of any one object, there is a collaborative approach which is nothing less than amazing and has changed the limits of my understanding for models of collaboration. Studios rely on each other entirely to produce single objects, but at the same time, they are producing hundreds of different kinds of objects, which in ceramics is a pretty amazing undertaking. So the studios represent loosely the divisions in the process of creating works, but there's always individuals who actually bridge multiple sort of divisions. So there's kind of these bridge characters, which are sort of key. So at once, the group is described can be described as inseparable from each other. But it's possible, potentially, given the scale of the sort of factory, to visualize it not as a production line, literally as a linear division in the process, but as a flexible network. So the reason why these studios have continued to be able to produce work is largely where other larger factories have completely sort of dissolved, is that they're incredibly sort of flexible in the kinds of work that they make and the way that things are sort of divided up, or ideas are divided up. So the system is constantly in renewal or constantly in a process of transition, and an analysis of the quality of the finished objects is a test to the effectiveness of communication within the collaboration. So this is the sort of key idea. So communication and language are key elements that enable ideas to become reality. Objects or projects move through the system with vastly different goals, from unique objects to large-scale productions, in a seamless flow. So I don't want to oversimplify that it's always perfect. It's not. but your ability to communicate your ideas is the absolute sort of key to getting the sort of finished results. And I'm not just talking translation of ideas. I'm talking actual sort of communication in respect to the sort of different sort of stages of the process. So this ability to transition both the sort of goals and the technical production is sort of constantly undertaking. So the system requires a large number of highly skilled individuals, not necessarily specialists, as some individuals do this sort of bridging, but the sort of skill level needs to be there in order to make this all sort of work. So finally, I want to sort of return to the previous point about the notion of the ceramic studio and the fixed sort of location. So I'm just going to flip through couple of things, and this will be my last kind of point. So out of Jingdezhen, I made sort of this series of work, which I'll kind of flip through. They're all cast porcelain, reduction fired, all of these other things, but they have chalk. They're all chalk surface, so the pieces are actually black, and all the color that you see is applied chalk, so white, everything is applied. So the sort of nature of the chalk itself is obviously to disintegrate over time, or to have the possibility of changing the surface. The sort of sense of collaboration with these works and galleries, there's a contract that's sort of written that I have the right to go back in and change the surface completely if I want to. So a gallery agreed to that, and or there's not a sense that the gallery will will sort of fix works throughout its entire existence. So they have to agree that they're not going to conserve the surface at all, but I have the right to sort of go in there and change the pieces. So this is a piece that actually sort of documents the town where the gallery is, and the gallery is in that image, and there's a bunch of sort of local sites. And at the opening, I sort of introduced this idea that these are constantly changing, and the next place this would go, I would probably wipe their town out and put somebody else's town in there. And there was a sense of, the sort of anti-commemoration that sort of existed there, that that they took the right way, it seemed. So I'll sort of just jump through these ones. So this is... what do you mean by fired? Yeah, they're all kiln fired. Yeah. They're all reduction. They're all as much energy as you possibly use to make an object beforehand, and yet not have the surface, have the surface not be fixed. And there's blackware. There's all sorts of minor things. But the idea that that the original thinking was just the notion that the haptic surface, or what would be a haptic surface within ceramics, and how could just the handling of the objects themselves be seen as a collaboration in the deterioration of the surface. So this one has been handled at the top constantly in terms of being able to move it around, and then it's also been shipped back and forth to a number of places, so just the shipping starts to take so it sort of records all of that information as much as possible. So we'll get to this one at the end. So studios are loosely the division creating. So collaborations represent the pathway of problem solving and production as objects move between studios and a kind of dependency, which furthers the need for collaboration. So finally, I would like to return to the point about the notion of ceramic studio as a fixed location. In previous examples, I've dealt with the physical move of my studio, and so that I don't really have a sense of having a fixed studio, which in ceramics seems problematic. But I quickly became aware that I no longer need that sort of sense of the fixed studio, and most of my work since then is the realization of this sort of focus. The important point for me is that my movement and visit to other centers might in fact describe a kind of challenge to how we think about ceramics education. The movement and participation of artists in international residencies is a reality of contemporary ceramic research. Many of the most technical works are done under these conditions, and as described, not only do they rely on technical understanding of ceramics in order to participate in them, but also this sense of communication. So what is required of students in ceramics in order to participate in these becomes a question. So what do they need? What sets of skills do they actually need in order to participate in these opportunities? So an understanding of collaboration might be an important starting point. How could this be reflected in ceramic education? For one, I spend hours reviewing research proposals, and we have students writing and doing grants and all of those other things. So the writing and organization of ideas is about communication and the role of ceramics plays in contemporary research, and more broadly, the function of products of that research. They are rarely technical statements and usually describe the imagined impact of the residency on their studio work. Part of the understanding of these opportunities established by centers of historical production or within industry is that many have created new sites of collaboration and community building across sort of nations. Many of the best statements produced by students explore what community means to their participation in a residency. How do we transition and take advantage of these sites of community in a fluid way, given the examples of the sculpture factory sort of in China? What are the ways to collaborate in ceramics without a fixed location, and what impact does that have for the research of the material or skill? How might contemporary art and craft pedagogy move to address the changing access to these global ceramic centers, and what impact does the movement of makers have on the local centers? So what skills and language are required to negotiate these collaborative environments, and ultimately what roles do the models of research collaboration play in exploring these issues? So this last three slides, is a portable kiln kind of project where the kiln and the glazes are designed to be able to fire to be fired onto like a brick wall, so they're as low fire as possible, and so that you can fire them as quickly as possible. So it's they've been called sort of graffiti kilns and other things like that. But the idea is that that potentially now, you know, it sort of opens up different kinds of ceramic objects, like the brick building, like those other things, to potentially, you know, the sort of work on the surface or some of those other ideas. So I didn't address the notion of energy, like how much energy these things take, and I'm starting to consider that as the major kind of limitation or the major thing that should be a consideration within these collaborations, especially given that ceramics is essentially about energy in some energy and transformation. So it should be a key, we should in ceramics be a key media to think about that sort of relationship between those ideas. Thank you very much.